Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me in the studio is the man, the producer, and yes, he has a fresh haircut today, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And our sidekick and friend with the gel, Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day, sir.
Gymnastics
Good
man.
Good day, gymnastics man. You have a lot of explaining to do. Hello, hello. We are excited to be with you today. VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. Light of the world. Get ready, get ready. We're going to talk about keeping the gospel moving. Keep it moving. Keep it moving. How about those Miami Heat?
Who?
Miami Heat. Eating it up. NBA Finals. You know you watched it. Don't act like you don't know.
I fell asleep, man. That's boring.
We're going to talk about how a little boy hears the father's voice for the first time. You got to see this. You got to listen. You got to tune in. Tell your friend. Let them know. VFN Radio, live. Well, you know, I know that you were glued. Patrick, I know
what?
You were glued last night.
Glued to what?
Did you have
my bed?
But did you happen to watch the NBA Finals last night? Did you happen to watch Game 7?
You know, I think I don't remember. Was there a Game 7 last night?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know you were watching closely.
There was a hockey series going on.
Well, we weren't. No, we're not talking about hockey. Because I'm going to hit his mic.
Can we mute that mic?
Hold on, let me fix this mic.
Fix. There we go.
Okay,
there we
he's
go.
Gone.
He's gone.
Anyway, what were you saying, John?
Miami Heat won the NBA Finals last night. Talk about perseverance. I mean, it was a tied series, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Coming all the way back.
Yeah,
they were down initially 3-1. And then I mean, during because that was game four, I think, that they were talking all about that. You know, they know the stats. You know, the
it was 3-2.
Three twos. The team's unable to come all the way back, and they did. Came back, won at game seven.
Mm. Wow, so they do something that was kind of unheard of statistically?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, no. I take it. Chris, are you? It's Chris Mike. I take it that
Chris
he's
doesn't
not,
watch basketball either.
I take it that he's not a fan of Miami Heat. There,
he is not.
Chris, can you tell us?
He's a traitor. He's a traitor.
Oh, okay. He was in
traitor. What are you talking about?
Antonio.
I guess there's some
Chris,
rivalry.
Tell us, was this something that was absolutely?
It was an amazing series because it was tied up. You know, through the whole series,
mm-hmm.
It was just very exciting. You know, every game, well, except for a couple of games, they were very close. Well, actually, those games were close, and then all of a sudden, one particular game, Miami Heat just all of a sudden just was on fire. Blew them out by like 19, 20 points.
Whoa.
But then the next game, the Spurs did the same exact thing.
See, you got to be nice to the other team. They'll come back and do the same to you.
Yeah,
everybody might wake up.
It was good. It was very good. It was exciting.
Wow, but amazing how you was mentioning earlier, Steve, how the statistics were pointing to, hey, listen, it's very rare that a team comes back to win when they have a series that's 3-2 or, you know, they're not going to come back. More than likely, when they pan out the numbers, when they look over the history of games and series and finals and how it's gone, it's highly unlikely that a team will ever come back and win. And it just reminds me of when the odds are stacked against you. I'm so amazed at how many times people fall for, you know, they told me that they would never allow this to happen at work. I cannot get Sundays off. You know, like, what?
Really?
Man of faith, woman of faith. Just go in there and be bold and ask for the day off.
What God are you serving?
But you know, when the odds are against you and they say you can't do this and you can't do that and it's never been done, you say, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. That's this is true. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the God that I serve is able to do anything. Now, we're not attributing Miami's success to God, but what we are saying is that when the odds are stacked up against you, it's so easy. It's so easy to go with the crowd. You know, the crowd is always talking about what you can't do, what you won't do, what's never been done. It's always those that, you know, we're saying this, are the ones that are always that stayed in the boat. I mean, they criticized Peter for sinking, but he was the only one that got out and attempted to walk on the water.
Right.
Everybody else was still in the boat. And listen, when the odds, supposed odds, are stacked against you, this is the most important thing that you got to remember. If God be for you, if God, who, I need to know, who can be against you?
That's right.
Listen, when God's got your back, you are okay. You and God are a majority. And you can do anything with God. Because he's for you. He's with you if you're with him. So I want to encourage you today, look up. Don't look down. Don't look to the left or to the right for encouragement. Because sometimes you won't find it. Look inwardly and look upwardly. And say, God, I'm going to count on you. If God's called you to do something, don't put these plans before another man or another person. Step out like John G. Lake says. Step out in bold faith and God will meet you every single time.
Right.
Listen, if all the great men and women of God that have ever attempted anything for God, listen to what, you know, others had said, it never, ever would have happened. You just got to go with God. And it's just something amazing that when you're stepping out with God and you're stepping out on nothing but him, he just shows up. And he loves that. You know, you'll never see God show up in your situation if you always have a plan B, plan C, plan D, plan F, plan G. You know, you had all these safety nets all over the place, and maybe we'll get a chance to talk about that today, but there is a high wall, what do you call those?
Tightrope?
Tightrope walker.
Oh, yeah.
Tightrope walker. Hope we get a chance to talk to him. He's a believer. We'll talk about him today. Maybe we'll get a chance, but listen, this guy walks tightrope. He walks tightrope. He's getting ready to walk across the Grand Canyon. And he's going to walk, my understanding is, without any kind of a net.
No safety, no nothing.
Without
no
nothing.
Feather. Yeah.
And what happened was he tried, I guess we're going to talk about him. He tried to, he tried to walk.
All right.
He tried to walk, or did walk, I guess, through the Niagara Falls, which that is like unbelievable. Over the Niagara Falls, not through Niagara. Okay. Thank you.
That'd be interesting, Drake.
Yeah, that's interesting. Don't fall. As they're gushing down. And they wanted him to be tethered or whatever, and I don't know the result. I guess he survived.
We're still talking about it.
But he said that my grandfather, he says hundreds of years of his family, I guess, of doing this, is my grandfather said he never trained us or trained any of the family to basically be tethered. He says, my uncle was tethered and he fell on a net, bounced up and died. And he said that, my grandfather said that if you have a net, you're just conditioning yourself to fall.
Mm.
You're just conditioning yourself to fall if you have a net.
Oh, wow.
You got to go ahead and do it. No safety nets. If a man can walk across a big gaping hole with no net.
Yeah.
All you got to do is face your fears. There's a story of a man who walked across, believe it or not, walked across the World Trade Center towers.
I remember that happened
way, way back. And he didn't fall.
Right.
I mean, that's you can't fathom. You can't fathom that height. I mean, I remember going as a child to New York and right through the, you know, in the car with my folks, and you literally had to stick your body completely out of the window as a kid to not even look to the very top. Or if you're at the bottom on the sidewalk, you have to, with one hand, hold someone's shoulders as you brace yourself to lean all the way. You can't even turn your head up. You have to lean your whole body to look up to see how tall these buildings were. When I went up there as a kid, you can see the tower swaying back and forth. It was just so high. I mean, it's just amazing. And to think that someone was walking across the towers with no safety net. They're willing to walk across a tightrope over the Grand Canyon. They're willing to walk a tightrope across the Niagara Falls. Mm-hmm. No net. They're just going out there and trusting God. And let me tell you something. I don't know who they were trusting. I hope they were trusting God. I don't know who they were trusting.
My goodness.
But we're talking about in faith, you just have to go out, you have to go out there and trust in God.
Yeah.
And that's what faith is all about. And it's interesting what this tightrope walker said about his grandfather, that if you have a net, if you have a net, you're just conditioning yourself to fall.
That's good.
Pull out all the nets. Pull them all out. And just give everything you have to God and be totally committed. And when you're out there on the tightrope, when it's just you, the wind of circumstance is blowing at you.
Yeah.
And everything that you're seeing with your external eyes is telling you, this is crazy. This is crazy. This is not right. This should not be. You just say, God, I'm with you. And I'm going to trust you for every single step. So when you're out so far out, you have no problem moving slowly. You have no problem not moving hastily. Because you understand that your every step is vital. Your every move is vital. When you're all the way out, when you're out in the deep, when you're way up high, you don't miss too many abiding days. You don't miss too many times with the Lord, because you understand that you can make a wrong move. And that wrong move is not only going to affect you, but it could affect others, and it could be detrimental. So you got to trust them. You got to stay humble. You got to stay dependent. And you got to just trust him 100%. Don't shrink back. Just say, God, I'm going to move forward. One step at a time.
That's good.
My goodness, tightrope.
That's powerful.
Well, I want to talk about keep it moving. Keep the gospel moving. We're talking about tightrope. We're talking about trusting the Lord. But it comes to a certain point in time where we've got to keep it moving. So many folks get tempted to be stagnant. You know what I'm saying? You don't say stagnant. That's dangerous. You know, which really, you're either moving forward or you're moving backward. Nothing really just stays. Everything's constantly moving. But the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ is meant to be moving, and it's meant for spreading. This is not a containment gospel. These are not seeds that we put in our pocket for one day. No, seeds are meant to be spread. The gospel is meant to be cast and shared and preached. And how many today are stuck trying to share the gospel to the same people in the same place, in the same way, getting the same results? No impact, no change. And in Acts chapter 13, and it just kind of goes a little bit into 14, Paul and Barnabas, they're out there sharing. They're sharing the gospel in the synagogue, and some received it and some didn't. And this is what verse 46 says. We had to speak the word of God to you first, but since you rejected it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, now we will turn to the Gentiles. See, Paul and Barnabas had no problem saying, we're going to keep it moving. You got to keep the gospel moving.
Right.
We gave you an opportunity, gave you a chance, but since they rejected it, they didn't want to get nothing to do with it. He says, now we're going to move over to the Gentiles.
Yeah, there has to be that moment when you realize after you've been speaking and sowing to the same group of people and they've said no so many times, there has to be that point when you're like, well, all right then. You can't continue to spend your time on those that are saying no while there's those dying to say yes.
Yeah.
Got to move on.
Yeah. So Paul and Barnabas did exactly just that. They didn't keep sharing with those who continued to reject the word. They kept it moving. And many today are sharing the gospel with the same people over and over and over who said no.
No. That's right.
They said no. And if you keep spending all of your time with those who keep saying no, You will never reach the ones who will say yes. Maybe it's your family. Maybe you've just been preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching. It's like, how many times do I got to tell you no? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's your coworkers. Maybe it's your neighbors. It's time. It's time to put the go in gospel and keep it moving. You know, because the Jews rejected what was meant for them.
Yeah.
The gospel went to the Gentiles. And this is what the response was. In verse 47, he says, I have made you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. They were made a light to the Gentiles. In verse 48, it says, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed to eternal life believed.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, the word spread when it got to those who wanted it.
Yeah.
They were delighted. But if you keep keeping it and the gospel contained and sharing it with people, say, no, it's never going to keep spreading. It's never going to keep going. Doesn't mean that we stop praying for folks. It doesn't mean that we don't stop sharing with them at some given point in time. But you got to keep it moving. Right. You got to keep it moving. And so Paul and Barnabas, the board says, they dusted their feet. They dusted their feet and went on to Iconium.
Mm-hmm.
But even there, some of the Gentiles, they believed, and some of the Jews continued to stir it up. And the word says they poisoned their minds against Paul and Barnabas.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? You know, Paul and Barnabas, they kept them moving. They were in one synagogue. They went over to the Gentiles. They went into Iconium. And then it got serious. There was a plot to take them out.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened? They found out about it and went to Lystra and Derbe and surrounding areas where they continued to preach the good news. If we're going to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we must keep it moving and allow God to send us to a people who are hungry.
Yeah.
And the truth is that God has made you a light for a people. When your light arrives, they will respond.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I made you a light to the Gentiles. Go to the Gentiles. But if you keep the gospel contained to a place where people don't want to hear it, they've told you 100 times or however many times they said no,
mm-hmm.
you got to get it outside there.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep it moving because there is a people that will say yes. And there are people all over the world who are hungry for God. But you must be willing to leave the ones who said no for those who say yes. There's a great harvest of souls. There's a great harvest of souls to be reached, but it's going to take all of us to go to reach them. Mm-hmm. You know, on VFN Radio, we talked about no preacher is coming. The whole church is coming out. You got to listen to this. The day of the one-man show is over. It's going to take the entire church to be activated and mobilized in global harvest.
Right.
We're believing for the third great awakening. And it's time for us to continue to share the gospel with those who respond. Now listen, the gospel works when it is shared and when it is received by those who hear it.
Mm-hmm.
How many times, I mean, if a doctor gives you could be sick and totally ill. The doctor has a medicine. He says, listen, this medicine, you take it, your symptoms are going to be gone. You're going to be completely healed. Mm-hmm. You're going to be good. Well, in order for that sickness to go away, you got to give them that medication, right?
Mm-hmm.
They take that medication. The medication has to be what first dispensed, but the medication also has to be
taken. Right, absolutely.
And ingested. I mean, how many people have you heard said, are you taking the medication the doctor gave you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I'm not taking it.
I forgot.
Is there a reason? Do you see the correlation between your sickness and not taking the medication? Do you see this is a clue here? There's nothing wrong with the medication. It was given. But the person that mm-hmm. it was going for didn't receive it.
Yeah.
Now, what would happen if that same medication sat in the medicine cabinet week after week after week after week after week? Person is sick, dying possibly.
Mm-hmm.
And all they had to do was reach out for the medication. The answer was right there. that medication would have been better served if it went somewhere else, who someone else who was dying and sick. And someone said, I want that. Can you give me that? Mm-hmm. Can you give me that? Listen, the gospel has to be shared and it has to be received.
Yeah.
And we talked about yesterday that an order, you know, the gospel is only good news if it arrives.
Yeah.
If it's not too late.
Yeah. Somebody hears it.
Yeah. The gospel's only good news if it shows up on time. But if it doesn't show up on time, then it's not no longer good news for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to have to see, they're going to have to face judgment day.
Right.
And it's for us to say, listen, we're going to make sure that no matter who we're sharing with, that we have just the inner witness from the Lord that says, listen, I need to keep this moving. I need to keep sharing the gospel. I need to get outside of my comfort zone. I've shared with every member of my family, all two of them. Mm-hmm. And there's all two of them. They're still, okay, maybe we can go to the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can speak to the coworkers. I've done all that. Guess what? Go on a prayer walk.
Go across the street.
Go across the street. There you go. Go across the street. Say hi.
Yeah.
But I mean, Jesus, they said, go in the highways. Go in the byways. Go out to the country lane. Go everywhere. Let me tell you something. You don't know how much time you have left. You never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. The only thing that you can take with you to heaven is souls.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of people going to be showing up empty-handed. I don't want to show up empty-handed. I want to say, Lord, by the grace of God, I got here and I brought a couple friends.
That's right.
They're all behind me. I brought the grace of God behind me. I invited some friends to the party.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to show up to heaven alone.
Yeah.
Like, son, you lived all these years on this earth and you didn't tell
anybody?
Nobody.
Yeah.
No, I just feel uncomfortable with all this evangelism talk. It's not my calling. I don't know. I mean, I don't, if uncomfortable now or uncomfortable in heaven, which one you want to be? But, you know, I want to bring somebody. Mm-hmm. And the statistics say that the average believer won't lead a person to the Lord. I think that not one person in the whole life. Listen, you can get out there and you can witness to someone. You can share someone the great news, the good news of the gospel. And don't be discouraged by those that say no. Because let me tell you, there is somebody that will say yes. And the people that say no today will probably not be the people that say no tomorrow. Keep the gospel moving. It must be shared. And remember that the gospel is only the good news if it arrives on time and it arrives right.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I pastor a church in the city of St. Louis, and we are in the process of relocating, and there's a piece of land that the city owns, and we've come against three different aldermen who have told us, even before we got into negotiations with the city about the land, that they didn't want a church in those areas. When I get there, if I'm denied that land, how would the Federal Religious Land Use Act apply?
That's exactly why the RLUIPA has been passed. I mean, to be the high bidder on a piece of property and then not being able to buy it because you're a church is exactly why the Religious Land Use Protection Act is in place. The city is violating the church's rights.
Learn more about the American Center for Law and Justice on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Well, you know, you think about, you know, when you get saved, the first thing you want to do is what? You want to know more about Jesus, right?
That's right.
And so you start reading the Bible. You're excited about reading the Bible. And then you think you know, when you want to learn how to read and write and add, you want to go to school, right?
Sure.
You know, and look, let me tell you about my experience. So I got excited, man. I'm just in love with Jesus. I read the Bible all the way through. It may have been the first book I ever read all the way through. And I'm just pumped. I'm floating, man, you know, I'm the police, you know, and I'm just excited and just totally, you know. And so then I apply for Bible school. I'm just so committed. You know, I'm like, I filled out this application to be able to go to Bible school, you know, me and Jesus. Yeah. And so I go through all the processes of approval and I walk through the whole traditional cycle, you know, and I make it through references and all this kind of stuff. And I finally go to the pastor's office, you know, I get back there and I sit down. I just share my juvenile in the Lord heart with him about, you know, what I felt like to do. And he was just very encouraging, you know, and he signed my application to go somewhere else to get an education. You know, you think I could have got one there with 1200 people. Anyway, so then I go send my application off. So I'm waiting patiently for my application to come from the Bible school that the whole world is supposed to be talking about. And I get a reply back from them. They tell me, listen, John, are you hearing me? Listen to this.
I'm hearing.
They said I wasn't saved long enough to go to school. I got rejected, man. They wouldn't even let me go to school, man.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you do with that? I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know? And so I'm dealing with this personal rejection that I can't learn about Jesus. I'm not saved enough to know him yet. There's nobody discipling me. I got a reference to go to this place. I guess the school is just not here today, by the way. It didn't last that long. It kind of closed up.
Wow.
Which is kind of good. I don't have it hanging on my wall. But, you know, that's what VFNU is about. You know, Vine Fellowship Network University is that, you know, I can feel your pain. If you're listening right now and you love Jesus, you know, you just want to know more about him. And I want to encourage you to find out more on VFNU.org today. That's not how Jesus is. Remember, the Pharisees were amazed that simple fishermen were being used. They had a deep education and they knew you had to have the Bible memorized to be a Pharisee, you know, and by the age of 40, Paul had it memorized, but they were using simple fishermen. God was using simple fishermen and they just couldn't get it. But just because they couldn't get it didn't mean they didn't have it. They had Jesus, you know what I'm saying, amongst them, and God was moving. So I want to encourage you that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. If you're feeling called in to know more about Jesus, you know, possibly even called to even, you know, go into the harvest field, you know, be a minister, to be a shepherd, a pastor, maybe even a church plant. You can find out more at vfnu.org.
Welcome back. VFN Radio. Joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. Oh my goodness. Keep the gospel moving. Keep it moving. Keep it moving. Spread around the world. You know, this last couple days here on VFN Radio, we've been sharing about the Constitution, and we've been sharing a series by Judge Napolitano. And it's so important that we talk about the country, we talk about our Constitution, and we get informed.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about how it's so important to know the original intent. Because if you understand the original intent of anything that's been created, then you're going to understand the purposes, you're going to cherish it, and you're going to use it the way it was designed to be used. And you're going to know when it's not being used the way it was designed or purposed. And so we've talked in this series about Congress and what the Constitution holds them to and their involvement in the Constitution. But now this segment is going to deal with the president and his responsibilities as it relates to the Constitution. Listen up.
Under the Constitution, the President of the United States is the head of the executive branch of the federal government. He's not in charge of the Congress, and he's not in charge of the federal courts, just the executive branch of the government. That means he has three responsibilities. The first is to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution itself, which guarantees that your liberties and your freedoms remain secure. The second is to enforce the laws that the Congress has written. And the third is to be the commander-in-chief of the United States military.
The executive power of the federal government is granted by the Constitution to the President of the United States. His principal job, as set forth in the Constitution, is to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution itself. His additional jobs are to be the chief law enforcer of all federal laws, the commander-in-chief of the military, and the chief foreign diplomat in the country's relations with other countries and international organizations. He also appoints all senior officials in the executive branch, all cabinet members, all generals and admirals, and all federal judges and Supreme Court justices. Virtually all of his appointments require the consent of the United States Senate, but not the House of Representatives. The president has the power to sign into law the legislation that is sent to him by Congress and the power to veto legislation. Since neither House of Congress can act without the agreement of the other, except for the Senate, when it alone may and must confirm judicial and executive appointments and ratify treaties, the president may only sign into law, or may only veto, that which has passed both the House and the Senate. If and when he signs legislation, it becomes law at the moment he signs it. If he vetoes the legislation, it can only become law if both houses of Congress vote by a two-thirds majority of each house to override his veto. If one of the two houses fails to obtain a two-thirds vote to override his veto, then the legislation is dead for the remainder of that session of Congress. If he neither signs nor vetoes the legislation, then it becomes law without his signature 10 days after he has received it from Congress. As the chief protector of the Constitution, the president is charged with assuring Americans that everyone in the executive branch of the federal government, which numbers well over 3 million persons, uses the power of the government consistent with the Constitution. Thus, the president is lawfully required that every federal agent, whether from the FBI or the CIA or the IRS, for example, every member of the military, from the lowest private to the highest general, and every bureaucrat, whether appointed by him or employed as a life civil servant, upholds the Constitution and obeys the federal laws and the laws of the states in which they may be located. This obligation to assure compliance with the Constitution and the federal laws of everyone in the executive branch includes, of course, the president himself. He cannot pick and choose which laws to enforce, which laws to obey, and which laws to ignore. He cannot decline to spend money that Congress has directed be spent. He cannot disregard a treaty simply because he disagrees with it. He can, however, decline to appoint federal officials and thus frustrate the ability of Congress to have the executive branch enforce the laws in a timely and efficient manner. If the president himself engages in behavior that is arguably unconstitutional, and if someone, American or foreign, is injured by his behavior, and if the injured person sues the president asking a federal judge to prevent further unconstitutional behavior on the part of the president, and if that person prevails in court, then a single federal judge has the power under the Constitution to order the president of the United States to cease from his planned behavior. This has happened countless times in American history, and many presidents have unlawfully disregarded orders of federal judges unless and until they have been affirmed by the Supreme Court. From George Washington to Barack Obama, virtually every president has enhanced the power of the presidency, either by asking for more power from the Congress, which the Congress has frequently and often unlawfully given to him when asked, or by doing just whatever he wishes and hoping and expecting that no one is powerful enough to stop him. Most modern presidents have contended that their principal job is to keep us safe. They are wrong. The Constitution says that the president's first job is to keep us free. If he keeps us safe but not free, he is not doing his job. With the passage of time, the president's responsibilities, of course, have changed. The founding fathers and President George Washington could never have imagined the presidential responsibilities of today. But the Constitution has not changed, and the limits on the government have not changed. And the president's principal job is to assure that all Americans remain free.
Wow, this is great. Wow. We'll learn so much through these series.
Amazing. Huge.
My goodness, the Constitution and the president.
Mm-hmm.
He is the head of the executive branch, right? Not mm-hmm. over Congress, over the judicial branch. And his primary responsibility He has three, basically. But the first one is to protect, preserve, and defend the Constitution.
Right.
Which is so important. I mean, it takes an oath. You swear an oath to it. And I love how, which is so true, you hear a lot of presidents, recent and past, that they felt that their number one job responsibility was to keep Americans safe, especially in terms of what's happening with terrorism in the last, 10, 15 years.
Right.
But really, the Constitution, which basically gives them the job description, says that your number one responsibility is to keep Americans free.
Right.
Because if you keep them safe, but they're not free, they're just in prison.
Right. Exactly. Say, there's no point in that.
You go to jail for that.
Yeah. Right. The second is to enforce the laws. Right. And third is that he's a commander in chief.
Yeah.
And all this is outlined in the Constitution. I mean, how important is this when you think about, I don't know, what's happening in Egypt? You know? That they have a constitution, they were drafted, they ousted Mubarak and the Muslim Brotherhood, and now they have Morsi. And not too long ago, he just decided he's going to be the dictator, Pharaoh. I don't know what he just decided that's what he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, maybe that's changed. I haven't heard of it changing, but that doesn't mean it hasn't changed. I mean, he just set himself up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what? What is that?
Yeah.
Which is what you call a weak constitution. And we should be grateful that the constitution that we have gives the president, gives Congress, it gives them power, gives them authority, but it gives them limited power and limited authority so that they can't overrun each other or overrun the citizens of this country. And how we see that functioning in particular is how laws are created. That the laws have to pass in the House and they have to pass in the Senate. And once they pass in both, then they go to the president where he can either sign it, not sign it, and after 10 days it becomes law, or he can veto it, which means says he's not going to sign and put that signature in the law. And if he does that, then it has to go back to the House and back to the Senate, and two-thirds have to vote on it again in order for it to pass.
Right.
Well, it just kind of keeps everybody in check, where it keeps the Congress from going rogue and saying, we're setting up all these laws that the president's going to have to enforce, right? And it keeps the president from just doing whatever. He has to do everything. He has to enforce all the laws. He can't pick and choose.
Yeah,
right.
And I love how it's just the wisdom of it, the wisdom of our Constitution. I mean, it's not a perfect document, but let me tell you, it's been working pretty good. And I don't know of another constitution in the world that any country's using that's actually better, that protects freedom. And that's the whole thing, that we have been given these rights not by government, but we've been given these rights by God. If we say and take that argument that the government has given us those rights, which is wrong, then that means that if they giveth, they can taketh.
Yeah, that's right.
And we don't want them to take. I mean, which right do you want them to taketh away? You want them to take away the freedom of speech? It means we can't share the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You want, you know, to take away your right to bear arms? That means you can't defend yourself. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You want them to take away the Fourth Amendment, your right to privacy, or do you want that right to privacy to be absolutely taken so that at any time anyone, whether the government or whoever they say, can come and search you, yourself, your belongings, your home, and do what they want? There's a reason why we have learned. And it's just amazing that if we separate the tragedies of what's happened in the past from the realities that are occurring today, then we won't learn from those experiences. I mean, we say this often, but we need to borrow the experience and not buy the experience. This country has already bought those experiences of tyranny before. We've have experiences and bloodshed of what happened with King George.
Mm-hmm.
This is the whole reason the Constitution exists.
That's right,
yeah.
It's because we wanted to ensure, the founders wanted to ensure that, listen, these things were not going to happen again. And we're going to write a framework. We're going to share a little bit of our government, because we have power, because we learned that the states, the 13 colonies, they had all the power.
Mm-hmm.
They were the ones who formed the federal government. The federal government didn't form the states. And they shared a little bit of their power to have a centralized government. Let me tell you something. We got to know the Constitution.
Oh, yeah.
We got to know our freedoms. Because if we're not familiar with them, we're destined to lose them.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at bfntv.com.
I know you don't know a lot about football, Pat, but
right.
You know, I don't know if you know, Tom Landry, he was a coach for Dallas.
Right, the Cowboys. Right,
Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that.
You are Googling up over there, aren't you? Anyway, so you're Googled up.
I'm Googled up.
Anyway, this is what he said. This is what he said. He said, you know, you have all these players, football players, for those that don't know, it's a football team, and they want to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
That's the goal.
Oh, now you're looking like you know everything. Okay, so then they want to win the Super Bowl, and so, but he's the coach, and he has to lead them to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He has to coach them. He has to get them. He has to help them work as a team because you cannot get it if you're not a team.
Right.
And you got to get together. Mm-hmm. And so he said this. He said, I have to get them to do what they don't want to do mm-hmm. to have what they always wanted to have their entire life.
Right.
Isn't that powerful?
That is powerful.
The coach said this. Coach Landry said this. He says, I have to get these players to do what they don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
To have what they always wanted to have their entire life.
Mm.
And you have to understand, when it comes to the things of God, your flesh doesn't go, woohoo, I'm going to fast. You know, I'm not going to eat for a week, you know,
right,
or
right.
It doesn't say, oh, this is so great. I'm going to deny what my flesh wants, you know.
Right.
And Jesus said in John 15 that we have to abide with him. We have to hang out, remain in him, spend time with him, mm-hmm. you know, abiding with him, which means, you know, spending time with him, reading his word, hiding his word in our heart, listening to what he's saying or impressing on us to do and doing it. So we have to, mm-hmm. and we do that, we can be fruitful, and we're called to be fruitful. Mm-hmm. But our flesh is sort of like, you know, Coach Landry's talking to our flesh, and he says, you know, and I'm saying, you know, to you that, you know, we're going to have to get you to do, your flesh to do, mm-hmm. what it doesn't want to do, so that your spirit man mm-hmm. and your heart and your destiny, things that you always wanted to come mm-hmm. to pass, would come to pass.
Right.
And we have a simple plan for you, a plan that begins to progressively take you on that journey, the same way that he was taking his football team. You can actually begin on a journey with Jesus Christ that he will take you to a place into your destiny if you abide with him. Your flesh is going to go, no, I don't want to do this.
Mm.
But your spirit man is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, everybody really wants their destiny in God like that. They want to walk with God, right, Pat?
That's right.
But you need a simple plan to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and you can read through that, request a free, a simple plan for free, mm-hmm. and begin today. Just commit to 6 weeks. Commit to 6 weeks.
Right.
And just watch what God does. A set time, set place. All that's there for you. Mm-hmm. Simple little way to do it. No cost involved. Just you, Jesus, your Bible, and a journal.
Right.
And you can find out more at iabide.org. That's iabide.org. Man, it's just technology is so cool, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. I meant that our listeners now can go to the, what's it called, the Google Play Store mm-hmm. for Android phones. So they right. can go to iTunes Store for the Apple phones and iPads, and they can mm-hmm. download the VFN TV app, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can take VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, including the highlights and all the wonderful things that are available to our listener and viewing audience right mm-hmm. there on their phone, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can take it with you, and you could listen to programs that you, even our archives. For example, say if you miss a particular program and you wanted to catch it, or mm-hmm. you did a search and you found out, you know, this is some things I want to listen to, because we're always talking about, you know, God's news behind the news, wisdom for the day,
right.
you know, and the perspective of things going on, and that you can do that. You can carry it with you with your application, with your iPod, iPhone, Android. Just go to your application store for your mobile device mm-hmm. and look for VFN TV. That's V Victor, VFN TV. And then when it comes up, just download it and begin to listen, and you have everything available to you. It's just so cool. You can even listen to the live program right there. Now, I don't know if you know this, if you're listening now, because obviously you know it, Pat.
Right.
That, you know, once the live program is finished on Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time, immediately mm-hmm. Within maybe 30 minutes or so, it begins to loop. So it'll play every 2 hours, it'll play throughout the day for 24 hours to meet every time zone or your schedule. Mm-hmm. You know, you might not be able to listen to it at that time frame, but it's available for you. So you can go to your app store, download the app. It's VFN TV, whether it's your iTunes store or whether it's your Android store, and begin to listen today.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. My goodness, the Constitution. Protect, serve, and defend. Protect, serve, and defend. You know, in God's news behind the news, I don't know if you guys heard this yet or seen this, but a little boy who's been sign language, signing and using sign language to communicate with his parents.
Because he's
deaf. He can't hear.
Okay.
He can't hear with his natural ears.
Right.
He heard his father's voice for the first time.
Oh, wow.
We're going to let you listen to this segment. We're going to have this on the torch so that you can see it, but you got to hear and see the excitement, but you also get a chance to see the boy's reaction to hearing his father's voice for the first time. Listen up.
There are so many first moments to remember with children, their first step, their first word, but tonight a different kind of first, a little boy about to hear his dad's voice for the first time.
This is the moment so many people are talking about. Grayson Clamp, 3 years old, he had never heard his father before.
Talk to him, Daddy.
Daddy loves you. Daddy loves you.
Grayson points his finger there, hearing sound for the first time ever.
Can you hear Daddy?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Is that beautiful?
Daddy loves you.
Grayson was born without nerves in either of his ears. Watch as his father tries to talk with his little boy, who in this moment has turned back to his book.
Show me puppy.
He's looking at his little book.
And little Grayson points to the puppy on that book. As puppy. The moment unfolds, Dad simply asks his little boy a question.
You hear Daddy?
He's signing to him as he's talking
yes.
to him.
Wow.
And the boy signs yes.
Everyone in the room wow. recognizing it's almost too much for this little boy to comprehend at first. It's now been a month, though, since that moment. And Grayson's mother tonight telling us she remembers it like it just happened.
Oh, my God.
A mix of overwhelming joy, relief, excitement.
Without those nerves in his ears, a cochlear implant at 18 months old didn't work. So here's what doctors did instead. An experimental procedure, complex brain surgery. So rare, he's the first child to have it in the U.S. Bypassing the ears altogether, surgeons inserted a tiny microchip directly onto the brain's sound processing center, right there in the brainstem, to stimulate hearing, skipping the ears, and going straight for the brain. The operation took 8 hours, 4 weeks he would spend in the hospital sleeping with that teddy bear. Grayson's mother telling us her son transformed.
He's more aware of what's going on around him.
Both parents knowing the first words he heard, Daddy loves you.
Daddy loves you.
Oh, my gosh.
How awesome is that?
Oh, it's precious.
How awesome
oh
is that?
Oh, my goodness. That facial feature is precious.
His eyes just,
he's
I mean,
lit up.
Boom.
Mm. It's
wide open.
Yeah.
He had to be, what, maybe 2 years old, this video?
Oh, yeah.
Looks 2 years old, and apparently what I'm amazed about is that they were able to teach him. He's three.
Yeah.
He was able to teach them how to sign language at 3 years old. It's amazing what we can learn at such a young age.
Exactly.
But at three, they're signing to him using sign language. He has a little booklet, and they've got this kind of device on his by his ears or by back of his brain, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And his eyes and his mouth go, oh, like, what is that?
His finger goes straight up.
Yeah. It makes me think of how much we take for granted just our ability to hear or our ability to see. Our ability to smell and taste.
Yeah,
there's some people that can't even taste. And for some of us who like food, some of us more than others, that tasting is a very important thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But think about it. The things that we take for granted, it makes you say, wow, God, I don't want to take you for granted. I don't take what you've done in my life for granted. When you hear this little boy, and then the other thing I think about is that of all voices, he hears the father's voice.
His dad, yeah.
Yeah, that's powerful.
It's precious.
And he hears
it for the first time.
I love you.
Yeah.
I love Daddy loves you. Daddy loves you. And you know, I just can't help to think that, you know what? when you hear God's voice for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, I remember studying the Word of God and just all this type of stuff when I just gave my heart to the Lord. But when I really knew, like I knew, like I knew, like I knew, like I knew. You know, like you know the sky is blue and the grass is green. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? That God, I heard his voice. He spoke to me.
To you, yeah.
Lowly old little old me, he spoke to me. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. There's nothing more powerful and amazing than to hear the voice of the Father to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know you've heard messages and I know you've seen all bunch of stuff, but listen, when God speaks to you, or more importantly, when you hear him, because God speaks to his sheep. Mm-hmm. God speaks to those who belong to him. The question is, are we hearing? And in John chapter 10, verse 27, it says, my sheep, this is Bible now, my sheep, listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. We're his sheep. Mm-hmm. And if we're not hearing him, it's not because God's not speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we're just not listening.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you that you can come to a place in your relationship with the Lord that you can hear his voice for the first time. One of the most powerful things you need to hear is that he loves you.
Mm-hmm.
God loves you. But you got to hear it from him. You got to hear from him. In fact, I remember one time where I even, one of the very first times I remember hearing God's voice is a time when I was even wondering in my life if God was even real. This was before, you know, I was away from God. I was in college, just going crazy. And I gave my life to the Lord. And I answered, you know, someone who was given an invitation to receive God, you know. And I said, you know, basically, yes, I couldn't help it. I was compelled. I was moving. And I go to shake the preacher's hand that, you know, whenever it was that night. And I shake his hand, and he doesn't say anything to me. He's like, I go to tell him, like, hey, man, great service, or, you know, this was cool, or whatever. I responded to your message, you know.
Here I am.
He ignores me and just says, more Lord. And the power of God hits me just like a bolt of lightning. I shoot to the ground. I start shaking violently like a fish out of water now.
Mm-hmm.
And I begin to start just weeping and wailing. You got to understand, I've shared this before, but you got to understand that at that time in my life, I'm in my 20s, I'm entirely too cool at that time in my life, too cool to make any kind of scene, to draw any kind of attention in a negative way. Of course, you know, if I was looking cool.
That kind of attention.
Yeah, not that kind of attention. I was entirely too cool to be doing all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't, I mean, I had no control over my physical body. I not only felt the power of God for the first time in my life, and there is power in God.
Mm-hmm.
I shook violently on the ground, flopping on the floor like a fish out of water. And the most amazing, now that I think about it, I had all three encounters at one time. I not only felt the power of God, literally, I felt the presence of the Lord. And I heard God's voice all at one time. I've actually just thought about that.
Wow.
And I just started, I just felt the most beautiful feeling I've ever felt in my entire life. Words cannot describe the feeling, the weightiness. It was just the glory of God that was just surrounding me. It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I began weeping and weeping and weeping and weeping. And I mean, I'm talking about weeping where all stuff was coming out my nose and my eyes. It was descriptive, but I had no control of my physical body.
Yeah.
And I wasn't crying because of pain. I was crying because of amazing joy that I've ever felt in my life. I had no grid to understand that this was all part of God. All I did was come to him, but I didn't expect, bam, you know, I didn't expect all of this.
All right.
And I heard God as I'm laying on that floor. I heard God and his voice for the very first time. And my question to God for months now, God, if you're real, you got to show yourself to me. God, if you reveal, you got to reveal yourself to me. And we shared this on VFN Radio where we said the most powerful prayer you could ever pray is God to reveal yourself to me. And I'm saying, God, are you real? You got to reveal yourself to me. And I hear God's voice for the very first time. He says, son, am I real?
Mm.
You just don't even know.
Ugh.
Wow.
That day, changed my entire life, that one encounter. And I've never, ever, ever been the same.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at BFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at BFNTV.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. There's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN Torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go. Wow, at VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device, no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcast.